I don't want to come up here and have to stir you to give God glory. If you didn't come to give God glory, that's fine. I'm not going to make you do it because he don't want that fake praise anyway. But if you really know how much God has been good to you, and you really know how desperately you need him, and you really know that he's made a way out of no way, and been a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and been a father to the fatherless, and been a mother to the motherless, then you need to let him know how grateful you are that he got you here another week to praise his name. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, who's excited to be in the house of the Lord? Listen, it's distractions on distractions on distractions this here morning, ain't it? Got the whole marathon going past us. Some of y'all acting like y'all ran a marathon. Y'all look like y'all tired. Look, we just got to church. The Holy Spirit just started moving. I hope you're ready for the download, because the download is coming. You know, but we had a crazy party happen in this space last night. I love the fact that our church gets to be in a space where literally this was a club last night. So, like, literally, our setup team got here this morning. It's cake on the chairs. Some rapper, I don't know what rapper. Last time it was A Boogie. I don't know who it was this time. They had a party that ended like 5 a.m. It's lit. I just wish they would have stayed for church, but, you know, next time. But anyway, who's excited to be in God's house? Amen, amen, amen. Well, before I start, it is only fitting before I start that we take a moment and praise God for the heat that he brought through the woman of God last Sunday. Drea, I know she's gonna be mad at me. She's gonna be mad at me. Drea, raise your hand, girl. Raise your hand, girl. No, I said raise your hand. I'm gonna put you on the spot. Can we give God glory for what he did last week? The obedience of his daughter. Amen. I know she's gonna get me later. Oh, she's gonna get me for that, y'all. So, yeah, y'all pray for me. But what y'all don't understand is the best sermons aren't preached, they're lived. And that word that Drea preached wasn't just the culmination of preparation, it was her living everything that she was preaching. So make sure you let that woman of God know how blessed you were by her obedience. Because let me tell you, it takes more than you think to stand on this stage and deliver a word to God's people every week. It takes more than you think to be fighting your own demons and then have to stand on this stage and help other people fight theirs. It takes more than you think to be struggling with your own depression and have to stand on this stage and help other people get out of theirs. It takes more than you think to want to cut your own wrists and have to stand on this stage and stop other people from cutting theirs. You don't understand what I'm saying today because you ain't never walked a mile in my shoes. But I'm telling you, you need to thank God for that woman of God and her obedience last week. So with that being said, today's an exciting Sunday in TGA. Somebody say new series alert. New series. Somebody say new series alert. New series alert. Today we are beginning one of the most important sermon series we've ever preached in the life of this church. The series is called Money in My Hand and Harlem in My Heart. And this series is all about our money and God's mission. And I believe God has put a special anointing on this series because this series isn't just about giving. This series is about living the abundant life. Somebody say abundant life. See, God's word is clear. I don't know if you missed this in your Bible in the year plan, but God's word is clear. The abundant life is the generous life. And I believe that once you apply the principles that God will teach you in this series, it's going to change the trajectory. Somebody say trajectory. It's going to change the trajectory of your life. So I'm asking you for something. Somebody say, what you need, PK? Here's what I need. I need you to promise me that you're going to tap in for the next 4 weeks. 4 weeks. That's all I'm asking for. I'm asking for 4 weeks of consistent attendance at church. I'm asking for 4 weeks of you showing up ready to take notes. I'm asking for 4 weeks of you asking God, what are you saying to me and how do you want to stir me or move me in this area of stewardship and generosity? And if you do, I believe that this series is going to be for you the difference between generational poverty and prosperity. You're not talking to the preacher. I said, I believe this series is going to be the difference between generational brokenness, especially around your finances, and generational blessedness. I believe that this series is going to be the key that breaks us free from cycles of selfish living to living in our wholeness. So with that being said, the first principle I need to teach you today has nothing to do with your money. But it has everything to do with the way you view everything that God has given your life. Today, we're going to be talking about the principle of stewardship. Somebody say stewardship. If you can and you're physically able, please stand with me for the reading of God's word. We do this out of honor for God's word. If y'all were standing at the Maverick City Conference, concert, y'all can stand for God's word. Maverick City songs will not endure forever. Some of y'all think it will. I know it feel like it, don't it? Like, dang, we always doing Maverick City. Dang, Jesus. Is there any other worship in the house of the Lord? But his word will endure forever. Amen. I'm in Matthew 25, verse 14. If you didn't say amen, if you not say hold up. All right. Hold up. Got 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1. All right. The Bible says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. Somebody say he secured the bag. So the other one with 2 bags of gold went and gained 2 more. Somebody say he secured the bag too. But the man who received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Somebody say he fumbled the bag. Don't fumble the bag, TGH. Don't fumble the bag. Jesus says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold, and look, I'm giving you 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, so I will put you in charge of many things. Come share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came and said, master, check me out. You entrusted me with 2 bags. I flipped that. Here's 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. Somebody say few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who received 1 bag of gold came. And he was like, see, master, what had happened was I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here it is. Here's what you gave me. And his master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have at least received back some interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. Here's the principle. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Somebody say abundance. But whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Somebody say, dang, Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we know that in order for these principles to take root in our lives, in order for them to penetrate the soil of our hearts, your spirit has to first come and till the ground. Father God, there's all different kinds of soil under the sound of my voice right now. There's the soil of the past that the enemy will try to come and steal. There's the soil of the stony ground where it will sprout up with joy after this word, but then wither because it doesn't have fruit. And God, we just pray that today you will root us deeply, God, first in who you are and how much you love us. Because we understand that in order for us to change anything in our lives, it has to start with love. It has to start with the love you have given us on the cross and through the resurrection, and it has to then move into the love we give back to you and others because of it. So God, I pray today that you hide this dust of a man behind the cross. I pray that your people don't see me, but that they see you. I'm a distraction to what you want to do today. So I pray, God, that the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our strength and our redeemer. Oh, agree with that said? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You look beautiful. You look amazing. Pastor of the Flies Church this side of the Hudson River. Somebody say, that's a Fendi. It's a Fendi. So before I even begin this series, I need to make something abundantly clear. Somebody say, make it plain. As some of y'all know, we're in an $80,000 deficit as a church right now. We're in an $80,000 deficit this year. But let me be clear, that's not why we're doing this series. We're not doing this series because we're starting a church in LA. We're not doing this series because we want to buy a building in Harlem and then open it up so that we can provide services to our community. God has given me peace. Somebody say peace. God has given me peace on everything He's called our church to be. And do you know why God has given me peace? God has given me peace because He reminded me somewhere along the sleepless nights of this year, along the stressful mornings of this year, somewhere along the tears that I've cried and the questions that I've asked God, God, why am I so fruitful in all these other areas and I'm seeing so little fruit in our church in this area? I've asked God every question under the sun, and God has given me peace. Because you know what God said to me? One day He sat me down and He said, I gave you that vision, not man. Oh, and somebody needs to hear this. Whenever God gives the vision, He said, I also give the provision. Oh my God. See, provision is just vision after God has put His touch on it. So God will provide. Oh, y'all not, see, it's okay because y'all not where I'm at yet. I said, God will provide. Oh, somebody needs to say that in faith right now. God will provide. Oh, somebody needs to speak that not just over your church, but over your life. Somebody needs to say, God will provide. Somebody needs to speak that over their finances. God will provide. Somebody needs to speak that over their loneliness. God will provide. Somebody needs to speak that over their future. See, when God calls you to something, you don't have to fear the lack of provision, because God never gives you a vision that He doesn't fully intend on providing for. My Bible says He's a good father, meaning He doesn't give His children stone when they ask for bread. So if God knows what you need, if He hasn't given it to you yet, either He is teaching you something through His delay, because His delay is not a denial, it's always for development. I said it's always for development. I said what hasn't happened yet is because God is still developing things in you. I said what hasn't happened yet in your life is because God is still breaking things off of you. It's for development, or, and this is where I don't want you, Lord, should I tell him? Okay, I'm gonna tell him. Or maybe He didn't call you to it to begin with. Maybe God didn't bless the relationship because God was never it. Oh, I don't know. I can't stay there. So our goal in this series is not to get something from you. We're not taking a second offering after every sermon. We're not adding more time in the service each Sunday to ask for money. Our goal is not to get something from you. Our goal is to give something to you. See, God says in His word that the generous life is the abundant life. That stewardship and generosity are the bridges that we must cross to enter into prosperity and purpose. And listen, I understand that this is a difficult subject to discuss in church. Somebody hitting your friend right now, like, see, I told you. Told you. That's all the church. All the churches want is your money. I told you that. Why you brought me to this church? That's all they want is your money. I told you all they want is your money. Slow down, Bobby V. Don't twist your ankle. Slow down. Jump into conclusions. Slow down. I grew up unchurched. And one of the biggest reasons I had beef with the church was because I felt like all the church wanted was my money. So when God called me to start TGH, I said, God, I'm going to raise enough money so that I'll never be in a position where I got to beg people to give. I hate that feeling. I hate that feeling of needing people. Oh, I'm not the only sinner in the room. Some of y'all know y'all been needing help. Help been needed. Ain't asked for it once. Prayer been needed. Ain't asked for it once. Provision been needed. Ain't asked for it yet. I hate that feeling of being in somebody's debt. I'm standing up here begging people, no, I'm gonna get it myself. I'm gonna go get her. I'm gonna move in and shake her. I'm a big stepper. I'm gonna get it myself. But that's my pride talking. That's my ego talking. That's not the Holy Spirit talking. So God convicted me this year. He convicted me. He was like, yeah, you see, I'm drying that up. You know why I'm drying the money up? Here's why. Because in my word, I never shy away from having conversations about money. You know what God revealed to me this year? God revealed to me that Jesus was never afraid to talk to people about money. Do you know what's true? Here's facts. Somebody say facts. Jesus talked about money more than any other subject except the kingdom of God. Jesus talked about money, you ready for this? More than heaven and hell put together. You ready for this? Oh, this is gonna mess somebody's theology up. Jesus talked about money more than prayer. Jesus talked about money more than fasting. Jesus talked about money more than preaching. The only subject he talked about more than money was the kingdom of God, which means as your pastor, I have to apologize to you. See, in my desire to keep you from believing something bad about us, I kept you from believing something good about God. Because God doesn't view money as a bad thing. He just views the kingdom as a better thing. So in keeping you from thinking one way about your church, I've kept you from thinking the right way about his kingdom. And listen, the kingdom of God is the one thing on earth that's going to outlive all of us. It's going to outlive every person, every nation, every empire, and every culture, which is why the metric that God uses to judge the faithfulness of your life when you die and stand before him is not the metric you think. Jesus says the only thing that will matter to me when you stand before me on your last day is this: I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you visited me. So in this series, we're going to teach you how to live the abundant life, because the kingdom of God and the mission of this church depends on your obedience. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say, we ready, Lord?
Amen.
First point, say this with me. Stewardship starts with capacity. Here's a key word. It belongs to
somebody else.
It belongs to somebody else. You have been tasked with the responsibility of taking care of something that belongs to
somebody else.
Okay, now you got it. Before there was money, there was stewardship. Did you know that? In Genesis 2:15, before money existed, before it was all about the Benjamins, baby. All about the Benjamins, baby. Now, what y'all wanna do? Wanna be ballers? Who be dipping in the bins with the spoiler? I'm back. Y'all almost lost me. See, y'all don't understand. I ain't been saved that long. Y'all almost lost me. Almost lost your pastor. I'm back. Before it was all about the Benjamins, baby. The Bible says the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. See, the basic principle of stewardship is we are managers, not owners. We manage creation. God owns creation. We manage our lives. God owns our lives. We manage our money. Oh, y'all got quiet there. But God owns our money. We manage our children. We don't own. That's the problem with some of y'all. Y'all throwing yourselves into depression and all this other because you're trying to control. You don't own your children. You manage your children. God owns your children. You manage your body. Which is why, yeah, you should eat good and all that. But God owns your body. Which means what you do with it matters to God. It ain't your body. He gave it to you. He will raise it again in the end. He owns it. He created it. He knit it together in your mother's womb. You didn't make it. He made it. So he owns it. Somebody say he's an owner. And the reality is that there's two types of people in this world. There's people who live as stewards, and there's people who deceive themselves into thinking that they're owners. So Jesus says, I'm going to tell a story about stewardship to help my people not be caught in the trap that Satan has left for them. So he begins by saying, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. I like this. Because Jesus says that the kingdom is like a bossed up dude going on a long trip. And even though he's getting low for a while, he still got to get his cake up. Because, you know, when you're really a boss like that, I'm trying to talk boss talk to somebody. I'm not talking middleman talk, I'm talking plug talk. When you're a boss like that, you don't just leave town and go handle other affairs and don't get your money up. So he has workers that he's left his money to. So he says, listen, he calls him and he says, listen, I'm going OT for a while, but I'm going to give y'all all a portion of my money to manage. I'm just trying to help somebody understand the word of God. Am I helping anybody understand God's word? All right, that's my job. My job is not to be a textbook. My job is to help you understand the text. So Jesus says, I'm going OT for a while, but I'm going to give each of y'all a portion of my money to manage. And so the next verse he says, to one he gave 5 bags of gold. To the other he gave 2 bags of gold. And to another, he gave 1 bag of gold, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Now, bags of gold is a weak translation. The Greek word used here is talents. Somebody say talents. Talents does not mean skills or abilities. Talents in the ancient world were large bags of gold that added up to about 20 years of labor. So now, let's put this text in its proper context. The master calls the first servant and he gives him 5 bags of gold, 5 talents, which means he gave him 100 years of labor in gold. That's somebody's inheritance. He just put a whole inheritance in his lap. Say whole lap. Then he called the next servant. He gave him 40 years of labor in gold. 40 years of work. That's somebody's 401k. He just literally took somebody's whole 401k, put it in his hands and said, go ahead and manage that, hold that. And to the last servant, he gave 1 talent, which is 20. See, y'all thought 1 bag of gold, oh, that was light. Like, oh, he played him a little bit, didn't he? 20 years of gold. That's still a significant amount of chicken, ain't it? Now, here's the thing. I know some of y'all are already thinking. But that's not fair, PK. That's not fair. Why one get 5 and the other got 2 and the other got 1? Everybody should have got 5. Well, first of all, boo-boo, fairs are where pigs win medals and people eat funnel cakes. Second of all, I'm about to mess somebody's theology up. I don't believe God treats people fairly. I don't believe that God treats people fairly. I believe God treats people faithfully. You see, I'm gonna help somebody right now. See, Jesus sneaks a little line in here at the end of this verse that tells us all we need to know. He says the master gave each according to his own, y'all not talking to the preacher, according to his ability. He didn't give them what they asked for. He didn't give them what they prayed for. He didn't give them even what they thought they were worth. The master gave them what he knew they could handle. Oh, I gotta help somebody right now. God never gives us more than we can manage. That's why some of us need to stop worrying about what other people have. Well, why they got both their parents? Well, why they got all the right breaks? Why they don't deal with the stuff I deal with? Why they ain't have to go through the things I went through? Why they went to all the right schools? Why have I been faithful to a company that hired somebody that I had to train to supervise me? Here's why. None of that matters to God. The amount doesn't matter to God. Your capacity does. Oh, I need you to write this down. Everything that you have in your life right now is exactly what God knows that you can handle. I said, everything that you have in your life right now is exactly what God knows that you can handle. God's blessings are capped by your capacity, no cap. You see, we often look at people and wonder why they're further than us, even though we're just as good, if not better than them. But skill was never your problem, Stink. Capacity was your problem. See, the master knew that the one that got five could handle five, because at one point he had one. And then he turned it into two. And then at another point, he had two. Y'all not talking to me. And he turned it into three. And then at another point, he had three. And then he turned it into four. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get the metaphor? God doesn't just give money, power, and respect. The keys to life. He first tests you. Somebody say test. Somebody say test. He first tests you by giving you what I call doses of destiny. God never gives you your destiny in one helping. He always gives it to you in small doses. Anything that comes too fast, too quick is not God. God said, well done, good and faithful servant, not medium rare. Medium rare is for your steak, boo-boo. Well done is what God wants out of your life. God wants you cooked all the way through. All the way through. Anything that comes too fast, too quick is not God. It might seem like God, but the enemy can bless too. The enemy offered Jesus all the kingdoms in the world and all their glory. And it wasn't that God wasn't going to give Jesus all the kingdoms in the world and all their glory, just Jesus would have to go through a cross to get it. So the enemy tried to offer him what God was going to give him too quick, too soon. And Jesus was wise enough to know that God has that for me, but that's not God's plan for me right now. Because God still has a cross for me to die on before I can get the crown of life that he wants to give me. And anything that comes to you without a cross is not from God. Is this helping somebody? Those small doses are tests. They're not meant to destroy you. They're meant to develop you in the area of stewardship. So here's the bad news. Whatever God's put in your hands right now is all that you can handle. If he put singleness near, it's because that's all you can manage. If he put entry level there, it's not because that's where you're going to be forever, but it's because in this season of your life, that's all you can manage. If he let them pass on your promotion, it's because you're not ready for the promotion. If he put MetroCard there, ooh. Like, dang, God, I ain't even ready for a hoopty, Lord. Like, you could have just dropped a hoopty in my lap. Like, I'd at least, feel me? Nothing. If he put a MetroCard there, it's because a MetroCard is all you can manage. But the good news is capacity can be increased. See, the Bible says no eye has seen or no ear has heard and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. My Bible says that my plan is to prosper you and not to harm you. My Bible says, I know the plans that I have for you. Right? My plan is to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope in the future. See, if you surrender to what the Lord is trying to work into your life in this series, God won't leave you where he found you. His heart is always to give you more than you can ask, seek, or imagine. But the prerequisite is you got to love him more than you love it. Point two. Somebody say point two. Say this with me. Good stewards are multipliers. Jesus says next, the man who had received 5 bags of gold went, somebody say at once. At once and put the master's money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags gained 2 more. I love this. Jesus says that the one that got 5 bags went at once and put his master's money to work. Son got right to it. He wasn't sitting around like some of us pontificating and politicking. Son made it happen. The problem with us is we talk about making it happen, but he actually made it happen. Here's a powerful question for us to ponder. If God put it in your hands, would you immediately figure out a way to give it back to him bigger and better than he gave it to you? I'm gonna ask you that again because it went over your head like luggage. I said, if God put it in your hands, would you immediately figure out a way to give it back to him bigger and better than he gave it to you? You don't gotta wonder, because if God put 100 in your hands and you don't give him back 10. I can answer the question for you. If he put a band in your hands and you don't give him back 100, what makes you think if he put more in your hands, you would give him back more? See, there's blessings and consequences for mismanaging what's not ours to begin with. Some of you are so worried about your ops, your ex, your family, your fake friends, and whoever else, your coworkers, are blocking your blessings. But what you don't realize is you're the biggest block. You are the biggest block. Nobody can block something God has for you except you. You think God ain't big enough to work around ops? You think God ain't big enough to work around your ex? You think God ain't big enough to work around your crazy family? God is bigger than all that. No, you are the block, boo-boo. You're the biggest block. Because God knows that you won't give him back whatever he gives to you. That's why you need to see stewardship as a heart posture, not a status. Because even the man that got 2, he got less. But he still got right to it. Jesus says, so also the one with 2 bags gained 2 more. So the one that got 2 flipped it to 4. The one that got 5 flipped it to 10. See, stewardship has nothing to do with the amount that you have. Your excuse is not valid to God. Well, God, I ain't making nothing. Well, God, I'm struggling right now. Well, God, when I really get my bills and situation together, then, God, I'm going to start honoring. God ain't hearing that. One person got 5, the other person got 2. Neither one of them sat around. Both of them made it happen. They were obedient to God. Both of these servants, though they got different amounts, got the same results. You missed that. The amount doesn't matter, the result does. They both doubled what their master entrusted to them. Write this down. All good stewards are multipliers. All good stewards are multipliers. Good stewards don't waste time gossiping, complaining, or getting caught up in things they can't control. Those things create division. But good stewards don't have time to divide because they're too busy multiplying. In fact, this one's for free. Only the devil divides. God multiplies. So when you look at division in the world, when you look at division in your life, when you look at division in the church, you know who's working. God doesn't divide, he multiplies. The devil divides. And listen, I understand how easy it is to get distracted by the drama. I'm only human. PK human too. I'd be lying to you if I said, I don't care what people say and think about me. I'd be lying to you if I said, it doesn't hurt me about when I hear the things that people said about me on the net or on their podcast. I'd be lying if I said, it doesn't hurt me to see the people who left me, walked away from me. I just don't care enough about what people think or say about me to stop building what God has called me to build. See, here's what I need you to understand today. Good stewards know how to minimize distractions in order to maximize whatever God has given them to multiply. That's the mindset of good stewards. They're obsessed with faithfully managing whatever God puts in their hands. If it's money, if it's a family, if it's a child, if it's a business, if it's a ministry, good stewards multiply everything God gives them to manage. But so far, we've only seen how the first two manage the master's money. What about the last one? Oof. Jesus says, but the man who received one bag 20 years ago went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. The man that received the least did the least. Isn't that interesting? God will keep you in a status. Oh man, I don't, are they ready for this, Lord? God will keep you in a status that you don't want to be in because he knows that's all you can handle. It wasn't that God didn't want to give him more, but he knew what was in the heart of the one who received the least. The one who got the least did the least. He chose to do nothing, which leads me to my last point. Somebody say this with me. Point three, the blessings and consequences of stewardship. The next verse says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The Bible says, after a long time, after a long time, the master returned. He didn't come back next week, next month, or next year. He took a long time. Somebody say a long time. Somebody needs to hear this today. God's not rushing back to catch you lacking. I said, God is not rushing back to catch you lacking. I know somebody's thinking right now, it's a hot boy summer, PK. It's a hot girl summer. I kind of got a little off track here with some of the things I know I should have been doing. Some of us turned the summer into a season, but we ain't going to go there. That's another sermon. But God is not rushing back to catch you lacking. He's giving you time to make things right with him in your life. He is patient and long-suffering towards you. He'll forgive you 70 times 7. But eventually, I know you don't think it's going to happen, but your time is going to run out. Because one or two things are going to happen. Either this crazy world is going to destroy itself, or you will die and stand before God. And when the master returns, his main objective is going to be to settle accounts with his servant. Oh, I'm talking some accountant language. Where my accountants at? Oh, my accountants know what I'm talking about. Settling the books. He's going to have to settle the books of your life. So the Bible says, the man who received 5 bags of gold bought the other 5. Master, he said, you gave me 5, and I gave you 5. Here's 5 more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Yo, catch this. The man had 100 years of gold. And the master said, that was a few things. Oh, my God. Who do you think your God is? How much do you think your God is holding for your life? He literally gave him 200 years of gold. And he said, oh, you was faithful with that little bit. Now, come on and let's see what I really got for you. What do you think is God's heart towards you? I just want to understand this because some of us think when you hear about tithing and giving and all of this that you can outgive God. Like you think that little 10% you giving is really moving something? Only thing it's doing is testing your heart. That's all God is looking at. No, I just want to make sure she loved me more than that. I want to make sure he don't worship that. He worships me. But it ain't you outgiving him. Are you crazy? 100 years of labor was a little thing. Oh, that was a few things. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I will put you in charge of many things. Somebody say many things. Amen. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then to the man with 2 bags, he came and said, Master, you gave me 2. Here's 2 more. His master replied, same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. That's 40 years ago. That's crazy. I will put you in charge of many. Come share in your master's joy. Now, I need you to catch this revelation. When a master sees the obedience of the first 2 servants, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've proven yourself faithful over a few things. I'm gonna put you in charge of many things. I need you to catch this revelation. They were faithful with money, but got back responsibility. Oh, you didn't catch that. See, you thought being faithful with money would give you back money. But that's a prosperity gospel. That's not the real gospel. The real gospel says, if you're faithful with money, God will give you back responsibility. Because what you don't understand is money is an effect, not a cause. The devil has deceived us into believing money is our provider. But money is the effect of your provider, who's God, not your provider. And it's deceived us to think money is our security, so we hold it tight. And I can't give it, I can't share it, I can't give to the church, I can't give to people, I can't help family in need, and we hold it like this. And God is like, but that's not your security, it's the effect of my goodness in your life. I'm your security. Because if I took away health, you wouldn't be making money. If I took away a sound mind, you wouldn't be making money. If I took away your limbs, you wouldn't be making money. So every day you got in that Uber and you just missed that accident, and every day you got in that train and that person walked past you when an enemy sent them to come and attack you, and every day you went to that job and they was about to fire you and they decided not to fire you, you didn't do that. That was me. Oh, y'all not talking to me. Write this down. The reward for good stewardship is more stewardship. That's it. The reward for good stewardship is more stewardship. And if you don't want more stewardship, then you're not trustworthy for more resources. See, the reward wasn't just leveling up. That's what the world tells you. The reward wasn't just securing a bag. That's what the world tells you. The reward was more responsibility and more intimacy with their master. Oh, catch this. He says, come and share in your master's joy. I love that. It's pleasing God, the end result of what you're chasing right now? Or are you chasing a come up and using God to get there? See, the only servant that can really be good and faithful is the one that had pleasing God as their purpose. So here's what I need you to see. After the master levels up the servants that secured the bag, he turned to the one that fumbled the bag. And look what he says. Look what he says. Look what he says. The Bible says, the man who received one bag of gold came and said, ah, master, you see what had happened was, I know you a hard man to please, and you harvest what you haven't sown, and you gather what you haven't scattered. So I was afraid, and I hid your gold in the ground. Here you go. Here's what belongs to you. Notice his view of the master determined how he managed his resources. Oh, I'm helping somebody today. Oh, I'm dropping gems like I got holes in my pockets today. He said, I know you're hard to please, so I was afraid, and I hid your gold in the ground. Write this down. The God you see is the God you get. The God you see is not the God that really exists. Because the God you see is the God your parents gave you. And the God religion gave you. And the God tradition gave you. But here's the sad thing. The God you see is gonna be the God you get. So unless you ask God to change how you see him, you won't ever get a new experience with him. If you see God as generous, then you'll manage what he puts in your hands generously. But if you see God as hard to please, then you'll be addicted to control and stuck in cycles of fear. And when God hears this, listen to his response. The master said, you wicked and lazy servant. Dang, Jesus. It's like that, Lord? It's like that. It's like that. You mess up what I gave you to manage. It's like that. I didn't die for junk. I died for you. It's like that. So if you're gonna spit in my face and you're gonna waste my blood, it's like that. You a wicked and lazy servant. It's like that. You see, y'all think God is halo and hugs, but he's like that. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. I said he's like that. You think the streets is tough. Wait till you meet Jesus. Wait till you see him ride on his enemies. Wait till you see him wipe creation at the end when he's riding that white horse with that tattoo on his thigh. You ain't seen nothing yet. So you think Jesus is soft. He's not. He's loving. He's good, but he ain't soft. You wicked and lazy servant. Wait, PK, but ain't he love? Yeah, he love. That's the most loving thing he could have said. That's the most loving thing he could have said, the truth. That's the problem with some of us. You want your ears tickled every week. You want somebody to tap dance for you and entertain you. You don't want the truth. The truth is there's many wicked and lazy servants in this church. The truth is God is gonna come back and judge everybody according to what he gave them. The truth is nobody is getting off without seeing God. And the reality is if I don't stand here and tell you, yeah, you're a wicked and lazy servant and there's a debt to pay for that, God is gonna do it for me. And then I gotta stand before God and give account. So yeah, I love you, but I don't love you enough to lie to you. Wicked and lazy servant. That's what he said. I don't write the mail, I just deliver it. Ain't none of these words in this book mine, trust me. Because I don't want to say this. I kind of want to stash a little myself. I ain't going to lie to y'all. That couple hundred every week hurt. It do. Wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received back something with interest. Man, take that bag of gold from him. Take that bag of gold from him and give it to the one that got 10 bags. Because whoever has will be given more and they will have in abundance. But whoever does not have, and this is not about money now, this is about stewardship. Whoever doesn't have the heart of God, whoever doesn't love me, even what they have will be taken from them. Hear the word of the Lord. If God can't trust you to manage the resources he has for you, he'll take what was meant for you. And he'll give it to somebody who can. Somebody, I don't know about you, you can leave it today the same way you came in. The cry of my heart is, I want everything you got for me, God. Don't take nothing meant for me and give it to nobody else. I want everything you have promised over my life. But God says, I'll take what's meant for you, and I'll give that to somebody else. This was the lesson we learned from Jesus in Gethsemane. Jesus was at the point of his greatest fear, sweating drops of blood because of the stress he was under. Yet he says, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will means it's not my life to own. And if there's no other way, Father, then I'll do whatever you've asked of me. See, the gospel makes us good stewards because it helps us see Jesus. And who's Jesus? Jesus is the owner of it all. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's a bridge over troubled waters. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the owner of it all. And yet, he dies as a steward of it all. And if you can see Jesus, the one who owns it all, dying as a sinner for you, then you can surrender to what the Holy Spirit wants to teach you in this series. And you'll learn how to give it back to him. I'm closing on this. Can I get my prayer team up to the front? There's only two types of people under the sound of my voice that I want to call to the altar today. Good stewards and bad stewards. I want to call up to the altar people who manage God's resources faithfully. And I want to call up to the altar people who've been fronting like their owners, who've been faking the funk like a whoopee cushion. Faking the funk. Some of y'all look at that on the way home. And God wants to call both people to the altar today, because whether you're a good steward or a bad, whether you've honored God with your money or you haven't, God wants to pour something into your life today. He wants to pour into those who manage good, well, more. Who believes that? If you've been a faithful steward, who believes the word of God today? That he wants to take what you've been faithful over and give you more. Well then, I need you to come to the altar and receive your pouring. But if you've been a bad steward today, who believes that he's waiting and patient towards you because he wants to call you to repentance before it's too late? That God is not waiting to catch you lacking, but he's calling you to come to him in love. So as you come your way up to the front and you receive this prayer at the altar, know that our prayer team is at the front to pray for you specifically and individually for every need you have. Will you bow with me in prayer, heads down, arms extended, as we receive what the Holy Spirit has for us? Father, I thank you. God, I thank you because I sense in my spirit that there's a pouring that's about to happen. God, I sense in my spirit that there is a pouring that you're about to provide for those who have managed well. God, I pray that somebody hears the Holy Spirit whispering into their ear right now. How faithful you've been with the little you have. I'm about to increase you in every area of your life. I pray that you prepare your people's hearts in these next 4 weeks to receive the pouring, not of money, but of love, of responsibility, and of resources, and of joy from their master. But God, I pray also for the servant under the sound of my voice who knows, God, I've been doing a little bit, but not enough. And God, today I'm cut to the heart, God. I can't walk out of here the same way I walked in, God. God, I want to be a better steward, God. I want to honor you. I don't want to be a slave to my money anymore. I don't want to be enslaved to my debt anymore. I don't want to be enslaved to my bills anymore. I don't want to be enslaved to my fear of my future anymore. I don't want to have everybody else on the payroll but you. God, break this off of me, because I can't break it off of myself. My mama was like this. My daddy was like this. My auntie was like this. My uncle was like this. My cousins was like this. My brothers was like this. My sister was like this. And now I'm like this. I'm addicted to spending what I don't got to impress people I don't like. I'm addicted to finding my worth and how much zeros are behind my name. Addicted to swiping and swiping and swiping without any prayer or thought. And so, God, I need you to break this off of me.
Yes, please, God.
Because I want to hear well done too.
Yes, God.
It's not that I want more of anything but you. And I'm getting less of you because there's still too much of me. God, may you hear the cry of your servants today. Pour special anointing, open heaven, God, and pour out on this church and on this altar a blessing that we can't contain. We ask this in Jesus' name because he died for it.